Revelation chapter 7, and we read verse 13 through verse 17. He said, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Now I believe that here is the finest type of the new birth that we can find. Those that have been redeemed and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We can enjoy these things, not necessarily in future tense, but now. If you, book of Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 4, and you can turn there if you like. If you have a good Bible, it'd be page 1120 in the Old Testament. And in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 4. And Joshua had come, and he was arrayed in filthy garments, and he stood before this angel. And in verse 4 said, "And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment." Now, the things we're going to speak this morning, unless you've been spiritually redeemed, spiritually born again of the Spirit of the Lamb, I'm not sure that these things can mean much to you. You see, I at once watched mine own iniquity be washed away so many years ago. I mean, it just happened. And at that time, there was a point in my life when I was actually made free from the power of sin. Sin no longer had the control over me. And it's an incredible, supernatural, miraculous thing. And it's unexplainable to those who have not experienced it. The trouble in most religion today is it seems like that everything that they live and all that they sort of strive for is future tense. They, one day I'm going to be this, and one day and one day, but have we forgotten that the branch has already come? That Christ Jesus was already born, lived, was crucified, and raised, and ascended. The branch has already come. And that we must be born again in this life, you see. And so I'd ask you, have all things not ever become new to you? I know most of you, if not all of you. And I've been privileged to see in so many of your lives a conversion, the change that's taken place in your life. A lot over the years I've given my testimony, and so many people, they wonder in awe, because my testimony was so dramatic, you might say, almost a Damascus Road experience. But if you're in Christ Jesus, if you've been born again in the Spirit of God, if you be in Christ, then you have something similar. It may not be as dramatic as such, but this change had to take place in your life. Same blood, same whiteness, all drinking from the same fountain. all members of the same body. And I'm telling you, if you be in Christ, that your sins are all washed away. Now that's the most incredible thing that can ever happen in a human being's life, that your sins are all washed away. If you remember in the Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim, he had a burden upon him. And if you've ever been a pilgrim, you've had this burden of sin. And if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, if you've been to the cross, if you've been to Calvary, if you've been crucified with Christ, then you surely must know the hour that that burden was lifted. And it makes no difference the time or the place, only that it was lifted. And it doesn't matter who had the largest burden, who carried the most sin, only that it was lifted and that you were made free from sin. That your iniquities were all washed away. If there's one verse that every child of God should memorize, it's Hebrews 10:17. It's a very, very, very short verse. And God said, in their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 10:17. That's an incredible thing. Because I had a boatload. And he said, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. There'll always be, as long as we breathe the breath of life, there will always be two coats before us in this life. An old and a new. And I thank God that those in Christ Jesus, that we can don the new one. In verse 17 of our text, and he said, the Lamb which was in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them to living fountains of waters. Isn't that what he told the woman at the well in the book of John? He said, I'll give you water you never thirst again. And he said he'd wipe away all tears from our eyes, you see. So I think that quite often we don't celebrate enough our deliverance from sin and iniquity. And it's a huge thing. You mean that God's taken me from a life of darkness, a life of death, and a life of sin, and he's delivered me. I used to speak with Brother James much on this, that how few I meet that have the joy of the new birth. The joy of Christ, our hope, and our faith. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This great victory and this great glory. Now, I'm going to take the time this morning because the message is not very long. If you turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. You might just put him on the floor. Let him crawl around. I think he wants to be free. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it's only 22 verses. And the best preaching you'll ever hear is just the Word of God. And you, I like that, you. That's me, and I pray it's you. And you hath he quickened, who were dead, trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. How well I remember such. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who's rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's not future. That's right now. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were made nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now that's supernatural, and that's victory in Jesus. And this is all these things that we read and all these things that we've studied all these years. All things are become new. And this is, though my sins be as scarlet, they're washed white as snow. And this is, though you're not in the flesh, you see, but in the Spirit, if so be that Christ dwell in you. Romans 7:5, for when we were in the flesh, for when we were in the flesh, whatever happened to sin slew me. Whatever happened to I'm crucified with Christ. And what about rejoice? Did he not tell us to rejoice? And he said, always and again I say, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Are not others to see the hope that is in us, in you and I? In all these things going on in the world, and men are in derision, and they're in tumults, and they're in turmoils, and all these problems. That's not to say we're not going to have tribulations and we're not going to have trials. I lived half my life in tribulation, under Adam's curse. Do you not remember the life of sin that you had and the tribulation that went along with it and the dastardly deeds that were involved? Do we not always shed tears of joy when we sing, I'm clean through the blood? I'm clean through the blood. Clean through the blood of the Lamb. And you see, for a child of God, it's not future. It's not future. It's present. I was as lost once as the prodigal son. As the prodigal. Turn over to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and this verse, these verses used to be such a blessing, and still are. Verse 3 through verse 7, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So where's your joy? And where's the hope that's laid before you and I? We profess to be Christians. We profess to be children of God. We profess to be the very temple of the living God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God? So in all these things, are we not to be, what did he say? More than conquerors. More than. And then he goes on in Romans 8 and he said, neither height nor depth nor breadth. All of these things that we have. And these aren't just promises. These are not things in the future. It's now. I always like in Romans 8 when it said that I've already received my glorious body. How? I don't know. I don't understand it. But that's what he said. And he said, those that he foreknew he loved and he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. If you're in Christ Jesus, that's you. And so I leave you with Philippians 4 in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. So when you read these things sometimes in Revelation, I don't understand. I was telling Melissa this morning, I don't understand the times of those. Because when he speaks of the Lamb, he speaks of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. He speaks that I was in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the earth. So I don't understand that. But I understand today. And that's why he tells us, just today. So today I have that. Today I'm in Christ Jesus. You say, well, were you in him before? Yes. Do you? No. But here I am. Will I be? Yes. And as I've always said, I was saved, I am saved, and I shall be saved. And I thank God for that. And so through all these things, so should we be. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice.